Is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio. It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Hayward. Lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right, Celtics post game show. CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Celtics. Episode is sponsored by our good friends at Greats, makers of the all-time Greats classic, stylish and comfortable sneakers sold at a great price. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Save 15% on your first order with our offer code Celtics Roundtable, all one word. Please visit Greats.com. Jared Scal here alongside Nick Sesento. Celtics get the big win down in Oklahoma City, 101-94. When at halftime, it looked like I had to change the channel and hope to maybe something didn't happen in the second half. It was a massive disappointment in the first half. Massive overachievement, I guess you can call it, for the second half. Either way, Celtics get the win, and there's a lot to talk about. Marcus Morris comes back tonight, has a minutes restriction, still gets put in and has a big game towards the end. Kyrie Irving proves us once again why he is better than Isaiah Thomas. And he goes toe-to-toe with Russell Westbrook and the stars down there at OKC. Al Horford is not average, Al. I will support Patrick Gilroy on that one. And he had a great game tonight as well. And him and Kyrie are really clicking. And now the Boston Celtics have the best record in the National Basketball Association at 7-2 going into their next game against the Orlando Magic on Sunday. We'll preview that game later on, but I want to bring Nick in with this one because, Nick, this game had its ups, its downs, but overall, it lived up to what we expected. Stars going at it, and when crunch time came to crunch time, Russell Westbrook came out to play, Kyrie Irving came out to play, and their friends followed suit.
Absolutely. After the first half, I was about to turn off the TV, 18 points, but with this team, you just can't tell. After that horrible tragedy in the first game when Gordon Hayward went down, it looked like the Boston Celtics were dejected and done. They came back and lost by, I think, only 1 or 2 points on that opening night game against the Cavaliers. We could probably say that was the Celtics' first test of the season, but with the Gordon Hayward injury, it really wasn't a proper gauge of the way this team was going to play. The Spurs game was definitely a challenging game as well, but without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker, without, you know, a few of their stars, it wasn't quite, you know, the matchup that you'd expect it to be. Big win, but not quite the matchup. This was the first real true test of this Boston Celtics team, the way it is comprised or composed right now with the players that they have, minus Gordon Hayward. And it looked ugly to start out in the first half. Tale of two halves, turned it around completely in the second half, and just dominated, especially down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and especially with the two remaining All-Stars on this team, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, who just seem to be made to play together because both of their play has elevated since joining the same team or since becoming part of the same team, and put the Thunder away convincingly in the fourth quarter. Fantastic win for the Boston Celtics. Impressive. And hopefully, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, possibly a signal or a sign of things to come, big things to come, good things to come for this team. And just imagine how this team will be next season. Without even having to make a single move, Danny Ainge will make this team will be better for Danny Ainge next season with the return of Gordon Hayward and a possible top pick from the Los Angeles Lakers in the upcoming draft. This team has potential dynasty written all over it.
And you said it, you know, they're built for the future, but they're right now, you know, they're 7-2 after this win, best record in the NBA. And I don't think anyone saw this coming, right? You start 0-2, you're trying to figure out what to do with Gordon Hayward. And this was the first real test here, Nick, coming into this year. Yeah, you're 6-2, you're on that 6-game win streak. You did beat the Spurs, but they haven't been themselves. This was a real test. You know, Oklahoma City, they're now 4-4. They're 4-3 coming into tonight. And, you know, themselves are looking to figure out the chemistry. Paul George comes in over the summer. Carmelo Anthony comes in over the summer. And now you have two guys to play alongside Russell Westbrook. It wasn't going to work because those three guys are ball-hungry players. They always need the ball in their hands, and they're learning how to do it with each other. And it's starting to click, and tonight it clicked for the most part. But these two teams are the top two defending teams in the league, ranked 1 and 2 in terms of points allowed this season so far. Obviously a young sample size, but that being said, two great defensive teams going at it, and they're all athletes. And you go down the list here, I mean, the first half was just awful for the Celtics. You know, Kyrie Irving had 3 points. Jaylen Brown couldn't figure out his shot. And overall, these guys finished well. Kyrie Irving, 25 points. And we saw what he did. Al Horford down the stretch. Big threes, as well as, you know, that two-pointer to pretty much ice the game at the end of late in the fourth. You got Jaylen Brown finished with 10 points, Jason Tatum with 13. This game overall was really something that will be talked about for a little while here. This was their first real test. And the first really hard topic I want to get to with this game is Jason Tatum. Kyrie always is going to show up for these games for the most part. Al Horford is going to be another guy, and obviously Gordon Hayward would if he was here. But with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those two guys were the guys that we talked about. Okay, this is your real test, guys. Young buck coming in, and they're learning on the fly, and this is another thing, going into a harsh atmosphere, really not sure what to do. Nick, I look at Jason Tatum tonight, 30 minutes on the floor, a little bit of everything, finished with 13 points, but I feel like he was composed all around. All of his shots were smart jump shots or really easy layups, or, you know, getting to the hoop like he does, composed, waiting for the contact, yada, yada. We're going to keep praising him, but he proved to me tonight with this game that he is ready for the big time as, what, 19, 20 years old.
Absolutely, and it's not just – he's been playing well all season. It's not just this game, but the special thing about this game, even though shooting only 4 for 10 from the field, the big thing about this game is that, as you mentioned, the Oklahoma City Thunder were the number one ranked defense in terms of points allowed in the NBA coming into this game, with the Boston Celtics ranked number two. And Jason Tatum has been a significant factor in that. His length and his size and his ability to rotate on pretty much, he has the speed to cover smaller players and the length to cover larger players. He seems to have the strength to also, you know, to contend with some of the bigger players. He could theoretically play, not theoretically, but could play three positions on the floor, from the two guard to the power forward, if we're using the old school, you know, naming system for the positions, even though this is now the Brad Stevens era of positionless basketball. You can definitely tell Jason Tatum, he was the steal of the draft, not because he obviously wasn't, you know, he was unheralded, but because Danny Ainge traded out of the number one pick to Philadelphia to get Jason Tatum, who Danny Ainge said, and I believe him 100% based on what we see from Jason Tatum, that he would have picked Tatum at number one anyway. But instead, he traded down. He made a big to-do about Fultz, making Fultz look, you know, attractive to everybody else. Traded down, got an extra pick out of Philly. One more example of Danny Ainge just swindling other GMs and just making them look foolish, getting the man he wanted in the draft and an extra pick, and that man that he wanted just turns out to be probably the best player in the draft, I think, thus far in the season, has been playing the best basketball of those top picks that came out of this last year's draft, and couldn't be more excited, especially with the addition of, you know, with Jaylen Brown already being there in his second year, having Eastern Conference Finals experience, the J. Crew tandem. The future for the Boston Celtics is absolutely bright.
347-215-7771 is the number. Celtics get the big win down in OKC. Final score 101-94. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second here. See you guys lining up to join us here, and why not, right? Great game to talk about. I want to introduce another topic here just before we kind of let the floodgates open and let you kind of react instantly after the game here with us here on CLNS Media post-game show. Again, Celtics big win down for Oklahoma City. And what I want to talk about is Al Horford, because there's been a lot of talk since he came here and last coming weeks here in the Boston market, especially our friend Patrick Gilroy on WEEI. A lot of stuff going back and forth with the nickname Average Al, Lou Maloney. Well, I want to say one thing to Lou Maloney right now. Go screw, dude. This dude is more than average. This guy is a stud. And, you know, if you guys check the tapes, wherever I've been, I've been a praiser of Al Horford since he came here. I love the idea of bringing him here. And it was a huge first step for the Celtics organization in their rebuild. This is why. He flourished last year, and now you've taken him off of trying to be the guy or less pressure because, you know, look, face it, with IT, he has some pressure on him because IT has to do more to create a shot. It doesn't flow as well. Yeah, it was great to watch. But then with Kyrie Irving is dangerous wherever he has the ball in his hands. And even if he doesn't, you got to keep eyes on him at all times. If you double Al Horford, now he has somebody legit to pass the ball to, plus the young kids. But if you don't double Al Horford, Kyrie's going to find him or take his shot. So Al Horford, to me, is coming up in the clutch, Nick. He is hitting big shots. You start tonight, back-to-back threes and that two to ice the game. When everyone thought Kyrie was getting the ball, he gets the ball to Al Horford, and the guy nails him down. Look, I don't know what people think anymore. I don't know what else someone needs to prove that Al Horford is a stud in this league, but he is a top 20 player in this league in my eyes, and he can be a number two on a championship team. I think comfortably a number three, and that's what he's supposed to be when this team is full intact with Gordon Hayward. Nick, I don't know about you, but watching this game tonight, Al Horford really just puts his cement on what his role is going to be here on out and how this Celtics team has already clicked.
Al Horford, Mr. Do-It-All, and not just doing it all with 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, but doing it efficiently and in the clutch, 8 for 10 from the field, 4 for 4 from 3. This is the modern big man. And yes, he's 31, 32 years old. He's been in the league for several years. He's a seasoned veteran, but the game has kind of morphed into his style of game where he's the ideal big man. He's the guy that you want on your team that can he's grabbing boards like he used to in Atlanta before, you know, some of the injuries caused him to kind of move his game further away from the basket, but he's also passing, distributing both from the paint, passing the ball out of the paint, as well as passing the ball from the perimeter when he gets the ball. He's able to do it all, and I think that's one of the key factors for Brad Stevens on this team, is that unlike last year where there were height issues both in the point guard and the shooting guard position in the backcourt with Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley, who are both undersized for their positions, and other players who were specialists and could only play certain positions, this team has so many players that can play multiple positions and in doing so can switch on defense and shoot the three and shoot from the perimeter and spread the floor from pretty much every position on the court. And Al Horford is the epitome of that. And I think that is the key for this Boston Celtics team. In addition to the surprise, I don't think anybody expected this team to play defense this well, or for Kyrie Irving in specific to play defense this well. But this team is really gelling well. Al Horford is a key part of that. And I think they're only going to get better because this is still only the ninth game of the season. It's incredible, and I think they're only going to get better, and not just this season, but moving forward. There's just no reason not to be excited about this team right now. There's youth, there's veterans, there's all-star leadership, and there are very smart, intelligent, cerebral players that are in tune with Brad Stevens' system, because Brad Stevens is a basketball genius and analytics genius, and knows how and has his players in tune with his style of play and the game plan that he wants to run. Unlike last season, and I loved Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas was really an isolation player. What we all thought Kyrie Irving probably was, but Kyrie has shown that he can change his game, adjust his game, and make the other players around him just that much better. So many reasons to be excited about this team for the future. Al Horford being one, still on the team for one more season after this, I believe, or maybe it's two. I'm not sure. This is the second season of the Celtics, so two more years of Al Horford after this. There's just so much to be excited about with this team, and they just seem to be gelling so well together. All the young players with the veterans, it's a perfect mix, a combination of both young players, athleticism, basketball IQ, grittiness and ruggedness. All bases are covered on this team. I wouldn't say Danny Ainge didn't know it was coming, because obviously Danny Ainge is a mastermind, and I've criticized him in the past, but I don't think there's any criticism of Danny Ainge now. It's coming together the way, if you want to give Danny Ainge that credit, the way he envisioned it years ago when he started this rebuild. And I think the rebuild at this point is pretty much over, because this team is now a contender and has been a contender since last year. But this is the manifestation of the team. When Gordon Hayward comes back, this team will be complete with maybe a few adjustments.
I think this team's catching a hot streak. I think this team needs Gordon Hayward to be an official contender. That being said, it's going to be a fun season, people. Lock in, ready to go. Celtics get the win tonight against Oklahoma City Thunder. 101-94, your final score. 7-2 now, the Boston Celtics record. That's right, folks. If you're looking at the standings, it's not a secret. They have the best record in the National Basketball Association, and you guys want to talk about it. So let's open up these phone lines, Nick. Let's unleash the hounds, if you will. This is the phone line, the great phone line. Let's start with our first caller of the night, Vinny in Saugus. What's going on, Vinny? Big win tonight for the Seas, right?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic win. I totally didn't give up and watch and spend time with my family. No.
Screw your family. Celtics are more important.
Yeah. Damn right. Bunch of strangers who don't know I exist. More important than my own mother, right?
I love it.
But listen, I watched the whole game. It was fun. On the Isaiah Thomas isolations thing, last year Isaiah only ran like isolations, I believe, 9.1% frequency. He didn't run it that much. If you go to NBA.com and you search for play types, Kyrie ran it about last year 21-24% frequency. So I don't think that's correct, with all due respect, sir. Isaiah and Kyrie, the one thing that's different about their games was when the game would go south, Isaiah would just say, "All right, forget it. I'm going to the hole, head down. I'm going to get fouled, and that's what I'm going to do." Kyrie's more of a quiet guy right now. I mean, like, the Brad has him playing off ball, and I'm surprised he got Kyrie to buy into it. Like, he's letting Terry Rozier bring up the ball, Marcus Smart, and it's working. Like, and it's amazing to me. Like, these guys, I'm sorry to take up all this. I'll finish up in a second.
You're good.
He just went in to Oklahoma City, the first tier of competition in the Western Conference. Their record is better. Their team is better than their record shows. They're amazing. I've seen them play. They're amazing. They create shots like no other. And our team held them to 19 of 57 shooting, in terms of the big three. And, Carmelo, Russ, and Jordan.
Yep.
They were fantastic, and we won it. We came back. We're for real. I can't believe it. We're Gordon Hayward. This guy might come back. And Hayward could come back in April and May, and we could have this guy come off the bench. And Jason Tatum is, like, getting pressed on his hair, and Jaylen Brown's picking himself back up after missing free throws, and he ain't taking none of it. It's amazing. I guess I got to give you guys a question. What do you think of – do you guys think that there is a place for Daniel Theis on this team? Because I don't know really what he is. He can grab a board every now and then. But to me, he just seems like a guy you plug in for 5 minutes. Maybe he can play all right defense. Doesn't really stretch the floor too much. And he doesn't have that body to withstand with Baines or anything, because he got pushed around. A lot of the Celtics got pushed around, except Baines and Horford. I'm watching Cease, and I like Cease. He's a nice guy. I kind of just wanted a little Okafor down there. What do you guys think of Cease? You want him on the team long term, or if you had the chance, you'd flip him for the little if the Sixers got desperate enough to flip him for anything? All right, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to put my phone on mute now.
Perfect. Well, appreciate the call, Vinny. Vinny and Saugus had strong take coming at me about Isaiah Thomas. I'd love it. Look, with this question to Thies, Nick, I don't know about you, but I think, you know, he has a role on this team. I don't see it 100% what it could be long term. I think with Marcus Morris coming back, with Baines playing as well as he is, I think Thies has a role in certain situations, and Brad Stevens, if anybody, is really good at playing those matchups. But I think Thies is an end-of-the-bench guy, and if it's the right matchup, you put him in. He's proven he can handle himself in the NBA. But with Marcus Morris and Baines on this team and Jason Tatum playing the way he is, I don't know what his consistent role is. I don't know if he even has one.
I think Tice is a nice defensive player. He's a good help side blocker. We've seen him block several shots. There was a point in the season, I haven't checked Basketball Reference again. They don't generally update their stats until the next day, so this game won't be reflected. But a couple of games ago, he was averaging per 36, a double-double in points and rebounds. He's a solid rebounder. Yes, he's rather slender for the position, for a post player, gets pushed around a little bit, but he can rebound. He can protect the rim. I think now that Marcus Morris is back, it's going to be has been inserted into the rotation, I should say. I mean, not really back. This is his first time playing with us or with the Boston Celtics. But I think Vanilla Tice does have a role on this team, and it's kind of that role that we saw maybe, you know, from early, going back maybe to the Goldie Blocks, Greg Steensma, to maybe the El Hombre Indestructible, Victor Favorani, if you remember Favorani, or maybe a guy like Datomi. You know, one of these guys that comes in and can give a spark, probably defensively more so than offensively, but they can give a spark in a certain aspect of the game when needed. Is it going to be a regular rotation in every single game? No. We've already seen his minutes, you know, fluctuate from game to game. Tonight he only had seven minutes and didn't have much production. But when the matchups are right, when the situation is right, there is a role for him on this team. I just don't think it's going to be a significant role. But there is a role for him on this team. In 7 minutes, you know, he gave us a rebound, you know, did what he had to do, didn't really hurt the team, was only a negative one in plus-minus if you buy into the plus-minus stats. But I do think he has a role. I like him as a player. Is he going to be a part of the future, you know, Celtics dynasty, a locked-in part? Probably not. He's probably going to fade away as many of these, diamond in the rough type players that Danny Ainge pulls from either Europe or from some other place. But I think that for now, he just fits well with the way this team is constructed. There's a lot of unknown players. Like, who would look at a guy like Semi Ojeleye and say, this guy is going to get, 15 minutes in a game against in a tight game against Oklahoma City Thunder, and he hit some big shots. So a lot of these guys on the bench, unknowns, but I think if they fill a role or can play a certain role well, Brad Stevens will put them in the best position to succeed, because that's what Brad Stevens does, is maximize the potential of his players, and he can do that with Daniel Tice as well.
Before we go back to the phones here, Nick, let me pose another wrinkle in, because obviously Daniel Tice is a good question. Let me ask you about Marcus Morris, because tonight was his first game officially as a Boston Celtic, and got a couple points, played well. He was in towards the end, and, you know, Brad Stevens said they trusted him, and that was kind of the reaction there. But what did you just make of his performance? You know, tough spots to come back into, but I think he played well, and I think it just helped them have that physical presence down the stretch.
Yeah, I would call his game very efficient for the 18 minutes that he played, the first game playing since last season, and he was with Detroit, so I don't think Detroit made the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs last year. So, I mean, he hasn't played for almost half a year now, any meaningful basketball, any significant basketball, and he comes in, you know, first game with the Boston Celtics without having any, you know, I don't think he even played in the preseason, so no chemistry whatsoever, comes in and scores 9 points, grabs four boards, had an assist and a steal in 18 minutes, shot 3 for 8 from the field, which isn't fantastic for a guy like him who should be playing probably closer to the basket, but who also has the ability to stretch the floor somewhat. Didn't do the stretching the floor part all that well tonight, but Marcus Morris is just another guy that I think goes well with a defensive unit, a gritty guy, a hustle guy, a guy that's not afraid to set picks, a guy that's not afraid to be an enforcer. We saw what his brother Markeith did during the Wizards series last year. In Marcus, they're basically the same guy. They have the exact same tattoos. They look identical. They did almost everything identical. They even came into the league and split their salaries, I think, at some point when they were in Phoenix together. He's just one of those guys. Again, he's not going to be, I don't think, a key role. He's going to be a key bench player because he's a solid veteran, double-digit scorer, can grab, you know, a few rebounds, 6 or 7 rebounds a game. I don't think he's ever been a double-double guy. But he's one of those guys that has a role that will play a factor in certain situations because Brad Stevens is a matchup coach and a situational coach. And his starting unit will change until you get down to the end of the season where he settles on, you know, a more of a fixed rotation. But Marcus Morris, I don't think you could ask for more from Morris. His first game in half a year of not playing basketball, I think he did fantastic tonight, played his role 18 minutes, and didn't cost the team anything, and, you know, played well without having any previous chemistry experience with Kyrie Irving or his other teammates, played well and did his job.
Right on cue, Nick. It's like Danny Ainge is listening. Danny Ainge tweets out, "Welcome to Green Team, Marcus Morris. We don't win tonight without you." It's like Danny Ainge is listening. It's like he's listening. 1 minute ago, he tweets this out. We're talking about Marcus Morris. Perfect timing. Sounds like, you know, you never know. What's up, Danny Ainge? Call in if you want. I'll give you the number again. 347-215-7771. Trader Dan, call in. I'm going to praise you for putting this team together if you're listening. You know, reports come in the locker room. You see Kyrie and the guys talking about how tonight they might have just not trusted their system as much as they needed to in the first half, and the system hasn't failed, so why fail it? And they came through, rebound back into their Boston Celtic ways from this year so far, and they come out with a huge win. Let's go back to the great phone lines here, Nick, and go to our next caller, who is Chris in Lexington. Chris, what is going on, my friend?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you for the first time this year. Regular listener, Vinny, my favorite caller. The guy's crazy.
Brings cash to
absolutely
our show.
Floors me once a call, this time with the Jahlil Okafor reference. I mean, Vinny, my man. No. The answer is no. We want Tice. We don't want Jahlil Okafor. So, you know, Tice has a role, guys. He's our third center. He double-doubled last game. He gets pushed around by Adams, so it's not the greatest matchup. You know, OKC, really, they play four out, basically. Carmelo is their four, and I think that's why Stevens went to Morris in the second half, because Baines and Horford isn't a good front-court matchup for Anthony and Stevens, although Horford did a very admirable job staying on Anthony, because he's mostly a sedentary player at this point. But that's why I believe he went to Morris, because Morris is a better matchup on Anthony. And then you put Horford on Adams. A couple other kind of comments. Al Horford, I feel so proud of this guy, because, like, I defended this guy to the hills last year, and it was because of all the intangibles he brought to the team, how well he made everybody else. And you could tell, it was noticeable, that he wasn't 100% comfortable even far into the year last year, and he said that. And I predicted, I've been on a couple different shows, I predicted, check the tapes, no, I'm just kidding, that he would be a better player this year, because he's not someone who relies on his athleticism. He's someone who relies on kind of like knowing what to do and when to do it and where everyone's going to be. And just notice this game, the first half, he had a lot of open looks from the three. He knew what he was doing. He didn't shoot them. He got other people involved. But when it came to the fourth quarter, he didn't hesitate and he didn't miss. And I thought that was fucking awesome. Yep. Another note here, kind of Kyrie, he's a better closer than IT. I love IT, but some of the things Kyrie does, IT just doesn't do. It can't do, like some of those that move tonight against Adams in particular. I mean, just the space he can create one-on-one in those end-of-game scenarios, like it's just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I think it's kind of want to give kudos to Jaylen Brown, double-double tonight.
Yeah, man.
You know, he had 25. He's been struggling to do more than just score for the most part and play defense. Still struggling from the free throw line, but I thought that double-double was good. And then Tatum, you know, he looked like a rookie tonight, but he still had 13, 6, and 3. You know, he missed the layup. He had that one move where the seas parted for him in the first half, and he kind of went up and thought maybe he was going to dunk or do a layup, and he ended up just doing neither of them. But yeah, man, guys, I thought it was a great win. I just wanted to call in and chime in the first time this year. I'm normally watching on DVR, so I listen on the podcast afterwards. But
love it.
Wanted to call in.
Well, Chris, appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening. And it's a good time, Nick, for him to be the first time for him to call in. Big win for the Celtics, and you know he makes a good point. Daniel Theis is someone that, I mean, in fairness, everyone gets pushed around by big guys at some point in their life in the game of basketball. But you know it might have been just a tough matchup. You know we didn't see Shane Larkin tonight either. And that's someone who's been playing a lot for the Celtics down the stretch of games and making big shots in the late third, early fourth quarters of these games that they've been winning. So this is what Brad Stevens does. And, you know, we've seen it since he's been here. He plays rotations. He plays matchups. And besides the studs, if you're a better matchup, you're going to get to the game that point in the game and you're going to be the one playing. And, Nick, you met up a good point, too, with Semi Ojeleye, right? He's a rookie, not the guy, not Jason Tatum, but he comes in, hits big shots, and plays really good defense. And I think that's what's getting him his minutes right now. Semi Ojeleye, Nick, tonight hit a big shot towards the end of the game and just plays sound defense. He was playing against LeBron James opening night. He's playing against these guys that a rookie shouldn't have success against. And you see, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Semi all play good defense against these top-tier guys in the NBA. Nick, they are the reason why this team is a top defensive team, if not the top defensive team in the league right now.
Semi, to me, and I love this kid. I graduated from the University of South Florida after moving down from Massachusetts. I am a Massachusetts native, but I graduated from the University of South Florida. They play in the American Athletic Conference, both basketball and football. Got to see Semi Ojeleye play the USF Bulls. He was a good player at SMU. He has that extremely durable, well-built, thick build that I think he's going to project out to be a player similar to Jay Crowder in that 3-and-D aspect, just with probably a little bit more verticality to his game, probably a little bit quicker off the dribble once he gets, you know, comfortable with the professional game, and probably playing above the rim a little bit better than Jay Crowder did. But I think that the loss of Jay Crowder will be mitigated slightly by the addition of some of these players like Daniel Theis, Semi Ojeleye, like Marcus Morris. And Semi in particular, just really just a similar type of guy, because Jay Crowder was a gritty guy. He was buff. He was built. He was one of those guys that when one of the few players in the NBA that when you stand him next to LeBron James doesn't look like a shrimp in terms of, you know, musculature and you know, physical build. And Semi Ojeleye is a guy just like that. This guy has, you know, guns of steel. He has those 24-inch pythons, brother. I mean, he's like incredibly built player. And once he gets comfortable, and he's already comfortable taking big shots and big shots from deep. But once he gets, you know, comfortable in a more well-rounded game with more significant minutes, I think he's also going to be a diamond in the rough that Danny Ainge picked out from late in the draft. And considering Danny Ainge's, you know, dodgy draft history, you know, up until the recent few years, he's batting, you know, a thousand right now with the guys that he's been drafting, including even in the late rounds, like guys like, you know, Semi Ojeleye. We can talk all day about the high lottery picks like Jaylen Brown, who was probably the best player in last year's draft, or, you know, better than the two guys drafted ahead of him. And now we have Jason Tatum. And in addition, the guys that Danny Ainge is drafting down later in the draft, like Semi Ojeleye, are potential contributors, and not even just, you know, spot contributors, but guys that look like they may be, that have the, that give you the perception that they may be a, you know, a solid role player, bench player moving forward, off the bench. Even in just the minimal minutes that he's gotten so far, he's made the most of his minutes, and he has a unique build for an NBA player, strength and athleticism. 3-and-D guy right now, may expand into more, but I think you got to be happy with what Semi Ojeleye has shown in the few minutes that he's gotten this season and the spot time that he's gotten, that, you know, we can expect to see him develop into something more than he already is. He's not a complete loss. And, like, some may say Lonzo Ball or somebody's not wasn't worth his draft pick. I would take Semi right now over Lonzo Ball, but maybe that's just a hot take and I'm just a little bit of a Celtics homer. But I'm very happy with Semi Ojeleye's play. And I think you need a guy like him that has that strength that, you know, that's not gonna get pushed around. He's the opposite of Daniel Tice in the sense that he's not gonna get moved. He's kind of like a Marcus Smart in that sense, that he's one of those guys that, that when he gets down and plays defense, when he puts his, you know, his forearm in your back and you're trying to back him down, he's not going to move easily. So you have to be strong and you have to be bigger if you want to back Semi Ojeleye down. And he's also able to stay with pretty much almost any player on the court, maybe not point guards, but I think he's another guy that can rotate between, you know, the two and the four throughout the game. And that's the secret to the Boston Celtics' success, the ability of not just their starters, but also their role players and even their rookies to be able to rotate on defense and do things on offense that, you know, versatility on offense that a lot of players in the NBA, a lot of teams don't have, and Semi is part of that.
All right, Celtics 101, OKC Thunder 94. Celtics go to 7-2. Oklahoma City goes to 4-4 at 500 even. About 10 or so minutes left here. 347-215-7771. If you want to chime in last minute here, get your thoughts in on this big win for the Celtics. Like I said earlier in the show, first real test for this team. 7-game win streak now after starting 0-2. And this team, Nick, before we move on, because I do want to like preview Orlando a little bit here coming into that Sunday game. What overall, should the Celtics fans be pushing ahead for what they're looking in here? Or should they be like over anxious? Is this what they're expecting all year? Or are the Celtics just playing a little bit better than they should be right now because of like playing for Gordon Hayward and that storyline? Because without Gordon Hayward, people are saying, you know, you're not a contender. You're not a contender. You need Gordon Hayward. And I was one of those people. Watching this team now, they're clicking sooner rather than later. Maybe they don't need Gordon Hayward to at least be super competitive this year, and it only helps when he comes back.
I think the key word that's been used a lot, especially here on the CLNS Media postgame show, is small sample size, and we're still only, you know, 9 games into the season. And I, probably like a lot of Celtics fans, watching Gordon Hayward's foot practically come off, you know, on live TV, probably imagine that this season, you know, was basically down the drain. There went our title hopes. But and everything else after that was basically just, you know, extra. This was the year we're going to develop, the Boston Celtics are going to develop their young players. This may not be the year they're going to go to the finals or give the Cleveland Cavaliers a stronger run in the Eastern Conference Finals. But watching the way this team has come together, the way that Jaylen Brown has taken an incredible sophomore leap, it's usually a sophomore slump, but he's taken that sophomore leap into becoming a legitimate, you know, third scorer on this team after Kyrie and after Al Horford, with the talent that Jason Tatum has shown. I mean, there's never a good situation for something like the tragedy that happened to Gordon Hayward's foot to occur. But if it's going to happen, it's awesome that there are players like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Semi Ojeleye and guys like those that can play that wing position. So there was so much depth there that even without Gordon Hayward, it seems like this team still has the ability to, if not make the number one seed, and that's, I think, completely in play because the Cleveland Cavaliers are a dumpster fire right now. We say that almost every year, that they kind of slump in the, you know, during the season, but then in the playoffs you just don't want to play them. But even the Washington Wizards, not all that, you know, not looking all that great this year. The Toronto Raptors not looking as, you know, great as you might expect. The Cleveland Cavaliers not playing as you'd expect. The chemistry isn't quite there. Those old players like Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose are showing their age right out the gates instead of, you know, midway through the season as they would have done maybe in seasons past before they got so old. To me, the sky is the limit with this team. I don't think they're going to win a championship because there's just too much strength on the Western Conference. Whoever comes out of the West is prohibitive favorites to win, whoever that may be, because the West also looks like it may be up in the air. But again, small sample size early in the season. But where I think a lot of fans are ready to just say, well, you know, we'll be happy just watching these young guys get better and watching them develop chemistry and just be excited for when Gordon Hayward comes back. I think a lot of fans are starting to get, you know, a little bit more excited about this team and what they can do this year. And I think even if they don't make it, this is a great year for building. Just like we said last year, multiple times on the postgame show, players, a lot of fans called in and said, well, it doesn't matter whether they go to the playoffs or not. It doesn't matter if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're just going to lose to LeBron anyway. What's the difference? What does it matter? They're going to lose in four or five. It doesn't matter. The reason it matters is what we're seeing from Jaylen Brown right now, what we're seeing from Terry Rozier right now, is that experience in playing in the Eastern Conference Finals has given the significant minutes in the Eastern Conference Finals has given these young players confidence to be significant contributors now. And I don't think anyone expected this much from Jaylen Brown. They expected improvement, yes, but this much, I don't know. And there's just so much talent on this team from top to bottom of the roster that everybody can get play and everybody can contribute in their own way. I think the sky's the limit, at least in the Eastern Conference, for the Boston Celtics. They certainly look like the best team in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, and I think they are. And I think, you know, for me, watching this team, I think the biggest thing was no one really probably assumed that Jason Tatum was ready to play and Jaylen Brown was going to be as good as he's been. And I think those guys grew up very quickly. They've been thrown to the fire a lot more than they thought. I mean, look, we all thought Jaylen Brown was going to start. He was going to start. He was going to be in this situation. It's Jason Tatum that everyone wasn't sure about. And Danny Ainge knew what he was doing, and he was forced into the starting lineup, obviously with Hayward coming down with the injury. But look, he's playing really, really well. He's confident in his offensive game. And when you watch this team now, the better they do this year, the more eyes they're going to have on them. They have those national TV games scheduled because of what they became before the Hayward injury anyway. These young kids are never going to be able to hide this year, and that's a good thing because, like we've been talking about, Nick, you pluck Gordon Hayward back on this team, and the sky is the limit. I think you are a very good team without him. You're obviously, I think you're a legit contender with him, but, you know, maybe Jason Tatum becomes the next Gordon Hayward. And then you have four guys on this team when he comes back who can really do this. You know, there's a lot of opportunity here depending on what the ceiling is for some of these young kids. And that's what we don't know yet. So let's go back to the phone line real quick here. Again, the great phone line, 347-215-7771. And Thirsty Boots at the 727. What's going on?
Hi. I haven't called in for a long time, but this is the first year I've been really excited for a long time.
It's a good
Welcome
game to call
back, Boots.
For.
Who's that?
That is Nick Sesento.
Hi. I just wanted to say the only two players I really, really wanted back were Jay Crowder and Al Horford. Mm-hmm. And I got one of them. I thought they were real Celtics. The rest of them, good players, but I was glad to see Olenek go. Marcus Smart reminded me too much of, what was his name? Allen Iverson.
Okay.
He's a one-man
okay.
band. I didn't think he made the team better.
Okay.
Although
do you think Marcus Smart has gotten better now?
Huh?
Do you think Marcus Smart's gotten better?
I can't believe he lost the 20 pounds. I'm so thrilled for him. I really am.
Looks like a different player.
I hope he sticks. I'm still not convinced, but I hope he sticks. I hope he's still here next year.
I like all the new guys. It's including the young Bucks, right? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
I like them, but you can't count on them making it all the way through this season as playing as well as they do. 82 games is a long stretch, and they're not used to that yet. Now, hopefully they can stick it out. You know, I'm not talking about getting traded. I'm just talking about folding. You know?
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, we appreciate the time, Boots, and don't be a stranger. Call back. It's going to be a fun year.
It is. It really is. I haven't been on the blog for a while. I was a chat moderator on the Celtics blog.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So. Yeah, we'll definitely hop back on there. Keep an eye out on all of us and call back whenever you want, but you're obviously welcome.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, and she makes a good point. You know, it's hard to, as we wrap up the show here and move on to Orlando, she makes a good point, Nick. It's can these young kids hold up? And that's what we really have an issue with in the sense of can these kids hold up? Can these kids make a run and help this team be good the rest of the year? I think they can. I think they're the real deal. Do you have any concerns to kind of go with what she was talking about? Do you have any concerns with either of those two being able to be consistent enough? I mean, they're going to have their ups and downs. They're rookies and they're young bucks. I know Jason Tatum's actually the rookie, but I believe in these kids enough that they can hold their own throughout the whole season.
I think it's a legitimate concern. Again, small sample size. They've been playing out of their minds the past seven games on the seven-game winning streak. And there should be reason for concern because they're young players and, you know, they're not players you can necessarily depend on to, you know, to be those leaders. But we also have, but the Boston Celtics also have veteran leadership in Kyrie Irving, who seems extremely willing to be that that mentor, that guy that helps other players get better. He doesn't, like the previous caller mentioned, doesn't, you know, in the fourth quarter take it all on his shoulders. He's willing to pass the ball, even to young guys, even to guys like Semi Ojeleye, even to some of the bench rookies. The reason I think that, even though we have a small sample size to judge this team, the Eastern Conference is not that good this season. So even if the Boston Celtics don't maintain this fever pitch that they're going at right now and this high intensity that they have right now, even if they drop off, there's still room for error because there's just not much competition in the Eastern Conference. I think after Gordon Hayward's injury, a lot of pundits or sports pundits on ESPN and other, you know, sports networks kind of wrote the Celtics off. They're definitely not contenders anymore. They're definitely not going to be a challenge for the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's only one team in the East. That's not true. The Boston Celtics are the Eastern Conference is clearly not just a one-team conference. It is a two-team conference, and I assume that the Washington Wizards, with their, you know, chemistry and the ability and the fact they've been together for a while, that you know, team of players, they'll tend to get better, and the Raptors will probably balance out as well. But I think that, you know, the conference from the fifth seed on down are just. It's just not a good conference. So even if this team doesn't maintain what they've been doing, they still have that margin for error that they'll still be able to earn a, you know, at least a fourth seed. I'm guessing a second or first seed when it comes time for the playoffs. And sure, they'll trail off, but like I said, room for error, margin for error, and they'll make it. And the one last thing, and maybe as we close the show out, Jared, the rebounding. I wanted to talk about rebounding all night. The Boston Celtics in their nine games have out-rebounded. This is a complete reversal of anything we've seen from the Boston Celtics in the past decade, since the Doc Rivers era when Doc Rivers just completely ignored offensive rebounding and basically rebounding in general. Rebounding wasn't a focal point. This team has out-rebounded their opponents in six of their nine games, and in their last, I believe what it is, five games, they've out-rebounded the last five opponents for a net total of plus 50 boards on the season and averaging over 5.5 boards more per game than their opponents. That's incredible. We've never seen anything like that from a Boston Celtics team, especially from a Boston Celtics team that going into the season, everybody said, where's the traditional big man? I think Aaron Baines has been fantastic, but it's not just Aaron Baines rebounding the ball out there. You got guys like Terry Rozier coming from the backfield, from the backcourt. You got Jason Tatum rebounding, Jaylen Brown with a double-double tonight in boards. Daniel Theis that can come off and give you rebounds. This team is doing everything right, from sharing the ball, shooting the three, rotating on D, and playing that incredible defense and rebounding the ball. It's they're all the bases are covered.
Yeah, they really are, and I think this team overall is really doing well. And you know, as we wrap up the show here, you look at what we were talking about with the Eastern Conference, Nick. Too, you know, top three teams in the East right now: Celtics 1-7-2. After that, it's not the Raptors, it's not the Wizards, not the Cavs. It's the Detroit Pistons at 6-3 and the Orlando Magic at 6-3. Magic lost to the Bulls tonight. And look, it's all by a game or 2.5 games is way too early to look at the standings, but that's just what's going on right now. Besides the Celtics, there's no one of the top three that, and even top four that people really thought were going to be there. The Raptors are four, but Sixers are five, Hornets are six, you know, Cavs are 10th. Like, you know, it's just, it's so early to look at this, but the only team that's really doing what they're supposed to be doing in the East is the Celtics right now. And now you have a game on Sunday against the Orlando Magic. Real quick, Nick, and then we can get out of here for the night. Just what do you expect Sunday from the Magic? Do you think the Celtics have a tough game coming? Do you think it's just the Magic who caught a hot streak? Because they did lose to the now 2-5 Chicago Bulls tonight by a good amount.
You know, watching this game tonight in the first half, a thought crossed my mind that said, this is why star power matters, because they have Paul George, they have obviously Russell Westbrook, the reigning MVP, they have Carmelo Anthony, who may be a star on decline, but can obviously still, somebody mentioned that he's more of a sedentary player, doesn't move around as much, but he's still a clutch shooter, can still hit those three, can still, you know, hit those pull-up jump shots, the mid-range game, the three-point game, but star power matters, and in the end, the star power in the Boston Celtics, even though they really only have Kyrie Irving as a superstar and Al Horford as a, you know, one or two time All-Star, there's not that much star power. Who do the Orlando Magic have that you would say is the star that's going to take over the game or that's going to, you know, carry that team against the star power of the Boston Celtics in the upcoming game? I mean, it's going to be a good game. The Orlando Magic are playing well. But again, small sample size, and we just saw them lose to, what was it, the Bulls tonight by, I think, a significant margin, something like 20 points, 22 points. Is it 105 to 83 losing to the Bulls? I would predict, I don't like making predictions for any of my teams, but I don't see the Boston Celtics not being favored going into the Magic game and not being favored by a reasonable amount that they won't, you know, that if they don't win by, you know, 6, 7, 8 or double digit points, I'll be surprised. But, you know, maybe the Magic really are for real, or maybe they have some type of, you know, agenda or playing with some type of fire under their ass now that I haven't seen. I happen to live in Tampa, which is an hour west of Orlando. I haven't watched a single Orlando Magic game, even though they're on every single night when they play. I haven't watched a single game, so I couldn't tell you. I don't. Is the game in Boston or is the game in Orlando? Do you know?
The game is down there. You can go to the game. It's in Orlando.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to the game and see in person exactly what they're all about. But I still don't expect, despite the standings and despite how well they've been playing, they've been overachieving. They're a team that's like the Boston Celtics from 2 or 3 years ago that are overachieving. They have all these players that are overachieving. The Boston Celtics right now, we have a caller that calls frequently, Isaiah in New Jersey, that says The comparison between Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving is that when you watch Isaiah play, it seems like he's putting everything out there. He puts everything out there to get his offense done, to make those shots fall, to, you know, to put the team on his shoulders. Whereas Kyrie Irving, when he plays, it just seems a lot more effortless. It seems like the game just flows through him. And I think that that's a positive for this team. And I don't think that that's going to go away. Kyrie Irving is ready to take a team somewhere, ready to lead a team. He left a winning situation, a championship situation, to come down to a young team in Boston and lead that team. And I don't think that the Orlando Magic have the star power to overcome the star power of Kyrie Irving, the talent of Kyrie Irving, and the athleticism and dynamism of the young talent like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. I just don't see it, but it could happen. Anything can happen. It's basketball. It's early in the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the Magic are one of those teams that are just catching lightning in a bottle and playing teams that aren't playing well. I think the Celtics will be okay on Sunday, and I think the Celtics are for real. So we'll leave it at that. Again, final score tonight for the Boston Celtics. And what was, guys, it was obviously the best win of the season for sure. And it was one of those games where they shouldn't have won, but they ended up coming back and winning this game 101-94. Huge performance. Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward was not there watching on Twitter. Al Horford, big game as well. And don't forget, every game you can call in after the game, 347-215-7771. And after every Celtics game, CLNS Media will be here for you. All our shows are available on demand after that, their conclusion on iTunes. So please subscribe to the show on iTunes. And this episode was sponsored by our friends at Greats, makers of the all-time Greats Classic Stylish and Comfortable sneakers. sold at a great price, and we've got a special deal for our audience. Save 15% on your first order. Check it out with the offer code Celtics Roundtable, all one word. Go check it out, greats.com, and use the Celtics Roundtable code. Nick Sesento over there. I am Jared Scally. Celtics get the win over the Thunder. We'll be back Sunday after they play the Magic in Orlando. Until then, check it out, CLNS Media. We'll be back then.